Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk today in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders, and I'm glad that I could come to you this afternoon to speak a word of positivity, if you will. I guess I've never used that word before, but something positive to you today. And I don't know about you, but no matter how long I walk in the things of God, I can always use an encouraging word from Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. I really do. And God is so faithful to give me those words. Most importantly, through His Word. And through Just different things. Maybe in something he'll bolster in my spirit, by his spirit, a word of the Lord, if you will. I don't know. I'm not in a place where I've been receiving prophetic words lately, but hopefully I'll be able to get back into that place. But what I want to say is that always God is speaking to his people. He never stops speaking. He will even speak through your respective circumstances. And, you know, God gave me this word when I woke up morning. I'm sitting on the side of my bed, and God says, "What do you ever ask the people if they know God and recognize God when they see God?" A lot of times, and I've even made the mistake of not recognizing a godly circumstance when I'm right in the midst of the godly circumstance. I guess that, my experience, and you can probably think about something similar, but my experience is that when I have realized that I am in the middle of a godly experience, it is usually when it's all over with and I can see the end and how, you know, God brought me through something, and then I realized that God was doing something. But God wants us to grow up, and he's told me the same thing. And as I always say here on the program, when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. God wants us to grow up to a place where when something just doesn't normally seem like it's God, it really is. And he wants us to know it while we are in that circumstance that may seem so negative. It may seem so, you know, something that's hopeless. And I'm here to testify today that I believe God is growing me up. He really is, because even in the worst of circumstances, I can see God. I can hear God. And so I know, for instance, I'm late starting the program today because today is my brother's birthday, and we went to celebrate his birthday today. We celebrated his birthday. And I felt so positive celebrating my brother's birthday today. And I'm giving you a shout-out, Tunzi, Antoine, Sanders, happy birthday. He asked me to give him a shout out on the radio today, and I'm doing that. But it is such a blessing. And there we go. Therein is the title of the program, Seeing Clearly in the Dark. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing to see clearly in the dark. It is such a blessing because, I mean, it's already dark, and when you can't see, it's even more treacherous when you can't see. But if we just obey the word of the Lord, even in darkness, it'll make the journey through the darkness a lot better. You know, I was, as I said earlier, I was meditating this morning and praying to the Lord. And he began to just speak a word to me. And the word is, he gave me was this, you know, he says, yeah, you're looking at this and you're looking at this. And he says, I have even seen this and I've seen that. He says, but there is more to come. And he says, I am going to have you wait for the rest, whatever there is to come. He says, so you're going to wait. These are the words that he spoke to me, until God says so. Those words I'm seeing right now, I've wrote them down in big bold letters. Until God says so. You know, it takes a lot to wait. And I'm glad I'm talking about the cycle of patience, because there is obedience. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself. In the cycle of patience, obedience can be moving ahead, forging ahead in faith. And obedience can be waiting. I'm waiting when you say, what are you saying? No way you want me to sit here and wait. No way. It's just no way. That's obedience as well. When God says, wait on me, that's obedience as well. When he told me I have, he's asking this, and he had me like looking one direction. He said, I've seen this, and I've seen this, and I've seen this. He said, but you don't have to wait for the rest until God says so. What a word. Now, I'm always saying that I'm just honest here. What are you saying until God says so? I don't want to hear that. I know all of you will say, I embrace that word. That was prophetic. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. No, I'm like, until God says so, that sounds okay. That sounds like a test to me, Lord, a test of my flesh. Until God says so, wait a minute. I'm ready to go now until God says so. So that may speak to someone today. Whatever it is, I mean, it may sound bad, but God knows everything. Sometimes we can move ahead too fast and miss what God is telling us to do. So I don't know what that means, but that may be a word for someone. More than likely, it is a word for me. A lot of times I think I'm speaking to my audience, and I'm speaking, God says, I'm talking to you, by the way. Well, amen. And also, too, I had left the theme scripture. I hadn't referred to it lately, but it is Psalms 37:25. It says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said that to me supernaturally again today, and I had pretty much stopped saying that scripture, but that is also the word of the Lord. And it's, for me first and then to you, the listening audience, to my theme scripture for the program, 1 Corinthians 13:12, the Amplified Version goes as this, as follows. For now, we are looking. Presently, we are looking in a mirror that's, let me tell you, giving us very little information. We think we're walking around with the stuff. I got the stuff. God told me, he said this, he said this. But what we're seeing is an impartial, dimmed view of the truth. It says, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim. Come on now, I didn't say it. God said it. God said this. A dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. Oh, my goodness. That's how we walk around until we seek out God. We get close to God. We pray. We read the Bible. We hear others preaching. We hear the word of the Lord being preached. We hear prophetic words that God gives. Then we get closer. And then God has a time to fellowship with us. And we get to know him. Oh, I go here every week about face-to-face. Let me finish the scripture. It says, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face-to-face. I come to this very point time every week because we think that we can get to know someone and not be face-to-face with them. It's no way. It's no way. It's just, an acquaintance, someone that you know casually, someone that you really don't know that well, you may know their name and their face, that's not getting to know someone. Because God says, when you come to me to know, to see in reality, you have to come to my face, face to face. And we have to come face to face to God if we want to know who God is. You're not going to find out the truth about anyone, including God himself, until you start up face to face. Stop thinking. And that's another thing. Stop accepting someone's word for what the truth may be about someone. You're not going to get, if you really want to know someone, you're going to get face-to-face with them. You're going to reject everything until you get face-to-face. Now, use your discretion here. But a lot of times we miss God by avoiding the intimacy, God, and even with people, the intimacy that we need to know, to get to know reality face-to-face, bad or good. You know, someone may look very good. You get face-to-face, that means real close, intimately annoying that person, and then they start to look bad. Or just the opposite. They may look very bad, and then you get close-to-close and intimate with them. And I'm not talking about sexually, okay? I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about even spiritually as it relates to God himself, but naturally as well. A conversation, a face-to-face observation, if you will. And that is what God requires. Even spiritually, God is saying, come to me face-to-face. Seek me out, and I will give you the truth. And that is what the scripture is saying here. And I require that in my natural relationships because that's how you get to know someone. And I talk about, I make fun of it every week about being on the internet. I mean, it's so convenient now. But I know that God's will is that we come to him to know him face to face. And let me tell you, there is a reward for it. Because the reward is this. If you come to seek me out face to face, my reward is truth. My reward is the truth. Because he says we shall see in reality. I'm still in 1 Corinthians 13:12, by the way. We shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part imperfectly. That is what I knew apart from God. Imperfectly. I didn't know it all. I did not know it all. I only knew partially. Okay? He says, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Every week I say this because it takes work to hear the truth. It takes work and effort to know the truth. And a lot of times, what I'm really upset about is when people don't like the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of fog are you walking around in? What kind of darkness are you walking around in today? Because if you don't want to hear the truth, I was just talking to someone a couple of days ago, and you can tell when someone does not want to know the truth. They turn their head away, they yarn, they won't look you directly in the eye. And I'm just saying how people turn away truth. How do you expect God to bless your situation if you don't want to hear the truth? You are determined to stay in the darkness that you're in, stay in that dark world of a lie. There are people who love a lie, and I don't know the scripture right now. I'm going to tell the truth about it. There are people who love lies. They live in lies. They love it. You would think they want to get out of it, but they love a lie. But I mean, the end is therein. I mean, if you go to, I believe it's Revelation 19, is they're going into the lake of fire. After a while, they're going to be in the lake of fire. They're going to suffer for the lies that they love. It's something else when you know a person is lying and they love to tell a lie. I mean, it's love. That's something else. That's some kind of wicked person. But in any event, I'm stopping on this scripture today. In other words, seeing clearly in the dark, getting to know God so we can get out of the dark place, that dark glass, know him fully and clearly, know who you are too, because he promises that you're going to get to know him fully and clearly, and you're going to get to know yourself. I mean, you're trying to, you want to be a cab driver, and there's nothing wrong with that, believe me. And God wants to make you maybe an accountant or something. And the thing is about it, he wants to bring us to a place where we're at our best. Sometimes we can't see everything because maybe that provisions may not be readily seen and discernible. But God has already made provision for us. Well, I'm going to the message today. Finally. How do I get to beating that drum today? Well, I believe that someone needed to hear it. Looks like I'm looking at the studio clock here. I only have about 9 minutes left. But the title of today's broadcast is The Cycle of Patience. I've talked about it, and obedience. I mean, that third phase in this patient cycle, we've been talking about the promise, and it's very evident here as I've been explaining from Genesis 12. Now I'm in Genesis 13, but there is a recurrent theme in even these two chapters, and that is the promise is promised over and over again. I mean, God repeats himself over and over again. That is so nice. I really believe that the harder the journey, the more assurances will come from God to keep you going, to keep you walking, to keep you on the journey that he has laid out for you and me. The more assurance. I mean, when I look through chapter 12, and now I'm venturing into chapter 13, he continues to reassure Abram of his place. I mean, Abram here, this is what I'm talking about, is looking in the dark glass of having a wife. I looked up a little further today, and we look in the last part of Genesis 11, verse 30. It said, but Sarai was barren. She had a child. You see, that was a dark glass, especially in that day, and as we learned, I learned even with Hannah, that having a wife that was barren, I mean, it was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. That's why I don't worry about being embarrassed today. I mean, there are people who want to embarrass you and make you feel bad, and when people look at you, they want you to feel like you're less than what God called you to be. Don't be embarrassed. Feel good about yourself in spite of it all, because it's in God's plan. Here we have Sarah in Genesis 11, verse 30. She's barren. And so Abram is looking through the dark glass of barrenness, okay, for his wife. I mean, he's probably, I told you, and this is my take, and you could say this is Brenda Kay's take on it. I believe that he attempted to give Sarah away in chapter 12 when he took her into Egypt. I really did. I think he was still looking in that dark glass despite God's promises. He was still looking through that dark glass, and he says, look, my wife is barren. She's old in age. She cannot bear children. God must certainly be talking about another a woman. And so he is moving from the barren woman that he's looking right at, looking straight in her eyes, and then going to a place where God is saying, even starting off in verse 12, and I'm repeating myself, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Okay, a great nation. And as God moves on with Abram, I'm looking here in chapter 13, and starting at verse 1, he says, and Abram went up. And I'm trying to talk about obedience today. I'm going the long way around again. But obedience is a part of the cycle of patience. And I know God would like it that we instantly obey, even when we don't hear or see what he's talking about. And that is when we grow up, when we start to obey, even when our natural senses do not agree with what God is telling us to do. The other day, and it doesn't rain that much here in South Carolina, not lately, but I have a sunroof, and it's bright and sunny. I drive up in the driveway. I decide to leave my sunroof open. And I'm thinking, well, I think I heard the newscast, and it's going to be sunny until the end of the week. And I yet had that little pressure in my spirit. Go ahead, close all the windows up, close the sunroof, blah, blah, blah. No, I'll wait. I'm going to move into the house, and I'll wait. I'll wait, and it's probably. But a little pressure there to still go ahead and do it. And do you know that I came in, started doing something, you know, doing something else, got distracted. It was not too very long when the rain came, and I was rushing out to see what was wet in my car. It seems that when God gives us something, wants us to obey something, it doesn't, sometimes we always don't have the natural senses to confirm what he's saying. And that's a dangerous place to be. And that's why he grows us up, that when we immediately hear his voice, feel that little pressure, that we obey immediately. And that's what we need in the cycle of patience. And like I said, that word earlier, that's when you slow down. Or the word earlier, to go forward. We have to learn that in the cycle of patience. Because especially when we think we should be going forward and God says, oh, hold on a minute, until I say so, what he told me today, until God says so. It's very difficult. The obedience to stop. Now, here what I want to refer to before I totally run out of time. I'm going to run a little bit. But here God gave Abraham a command in the first verse of chapter 12 of Genesis. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, and I will show thee. So he had a command. First off, look, I want you to leave. And to me, what this is suggesting is to leave that which is familiar to you and move out of these familiar kinfolk, family, the familiarity of your country, and of your house. That means those close up on you. It's not a very easy thing to do, even if you're doing it by mistake. But this was a purposeful and a direct command from God to Abraham to obey. He had to obey. This is the first tier of the journey. Where are you going? What are you going to do? First of all, I need you to get rid of these people. Well, it sounds kind of like, well, God, you know, wait a minute. I have family members that I love. I have people, I'm familiar with these things around me. You want me to get rid of all of that all at once? Are you kidding me, God? Well, that was the command of the Lord. It's a test in the cycle of patience, and that brings us to the phase of obedience. Because in chapter 13, first chapter, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, I don't think God intended him to get rid of his wife now, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Family with him, some of his family, not only his family, but his family had a lot of possessions and things, and he went with Abraham. Now, I don't know if Abraham realized it, maybe he didn't, but he should have left Lot. This command was only to Abram and Sarah, and he said, look, you're going to have to leave some things in your house. And sometimes that is a very difficult thing to do until you grow up in the things of God. And you know the things of God, and immediately when his voice speaks, you are prepared to move into that. Now, this particular command to move out of his country, move out of his kindred and out of his house, I believe the Lord groomed Abram for this move. He really did. Now, if I move back through the scriptures back before I get to chapter 12, I'll probably see where he probably has some problems. Situation where he was to move. And obedience is so important in the cycle of patience, because I know what I have learned in my respective tasks of obedience. Act when I tell you to act. Do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And the chastisement that comes afterward. Now, there was a chastisement here in as much as Abram did not obey. He did not obey immediately what God said. And the chastisement comes in verse 7. And he said there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And see, so I think I can tell you something as I end the broadcast today. One thing, when we fail to obey in this patient cycle, we have to pay a price. Or, as we saw when Abram went into Egypt, you're trying to give your wife away when that's the one I'm going to bless you through. That wife was returned right back to Abram. Well, here God is saying it again. You've disobeyed again. Here's Lot, and I want him out of your presence, out of your house, and you have brought him along. I'm going to insist that you separate from him, and I'm going to give you the first clue. Well, the first clue comes in chapter 7 when strife begins between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. Okay, this is a clue right here. You're in disobedience here. There's something wrong, and I'm going to have to correct it. Thank God. Thank God that he corrects us when we're wrong or when we fail to obey. I'm going to put it all together, put it back together, and cause us to obey succinctly. That is, when he first tells us, meticulously, every word that he gives us. Thank God for that. Well, I have run out of time. I have just really, really talked today. But I hope that in talking, God has blessed some way, someone, and in some way, amen, with this broadcast. And let me tell you something. That is all I have to say about this broadcast today. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archived broadcast of this episode. You may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, a question, or comment, all right, you may do that. You may be looking for some counsel. Feel free, please, to email me at that email address. Well, thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you next time, and have a very blessed week. God bless.
take it away. That was sent to me, and I had already decided what songs I was going to sing, and but when I got this song here, I said, oh, wait, there's another good one. Looks like he always come out with good ones, and he wrote something called The Awe of God.